Yo and hello, everybody. Justin, the WOD nutritionist. Here at CBG, we help you lose body fat, build muscle, and crush your WODs without tracking macros. Today's podcast is going to be basically a pros and cons of bodybuilding versus CrossFit, right? I'm going to explain the reason why I feel CrossFit's better. And then we'll obviously do our WOD Nutrition Q&A at the end of the episode, where I take questions from you guys personally on our WOD Nutrition Facebook group, and I answer them here on the podcast, right? So the bodybuilders are always picking on the CrossFitters, right? Now I think it's time we retaliated. And so you'll be seeing lots of content from me explaining why I think bodybuilders are doing this and why I think CrossFit is better at the end of the day, right? And for me, there are really four main reasons, right? Number one, CrossFit's functional. When you're doing CrossFit, you're preparing for life. You're preparing for old age, being able to get out of bed on your own, walk up the stairs, all these different things. This is what CrossFit actually helps us do. And that's why it's functional movements. Bodybuilding, there's less functionality to bodybuilding. It's very aesthetic, isolated based movements. And so if you're training for life, which we all should be training for life to some degree, CrossFit's more sustainable. It's literally life weighted and with variety, okay? And so that's the number one reason why I would say I would pick CrossFit over bodybuilding any day of the week, because it's more functional than bodybuilding. This is not to say like I don't do some bodybuilding isolation-based movements, right? It's great to supplement in some of that stuff. But if I had to choose between one or the other, I'm picking CrossFit. And the number one reason is because CrossFit is functional. Bodybuilding is more isolation, aesthetic-based, and therefore I feel is less sustainable, right? So that's the number one reason. Number two, CrossFit is constantly varied. Right? In the definition, constantly varied functional movement. We already went over functional movement. Now we're going over constantly varied. Bodybuilding gets very boring. It is boring, actually, if you think about it. Like, there are ways to switch up your training, periodize things in, tempo, like other things like that. But in terms of the number of exercises at your disposal and how to actually incorporate linear progressions to get better at bodybuilding and do what you need to do to improve, it actually is boring as hell, right? This is why when CrossFit was developed and people started figuring out, everybody went over to CrossFit that was doing bodybuilding, right? So like, dude, like I need to switch it up. I need to stop like chest Monday, buys and tries Tuesday. Like I need to do something else, right? And so that's what I would say is another reason why I like CrossFit more. It's more dynamic, constantly varied. Bodybuilding is not really that way. It's really boring, to be honest. And so like I said, nothing wrong with doing some isolation movements, some bodybuilding, right? Always good to do extra strength training. But if I had to pick between one or the other, I'm choosing CrossFit. It's not boring like bodybuilding is every single day, every single week. I'm doing chest Monday. I'm doing buys and tries Tuesday. With CrossFit, it's an AMRAP Monday, EMOM Tuesday. One day it's double unders. Next day it's ring muscle ups. The following day it's an EMOM. You have strength training before. You're doing gymnastic skill work. You're working on handstand push-ups. I mean, look at the movements the CrossFit Games are still coming out with to keep things constantly varied. It's never ending, and it will never end. There'll always be something more advanced in this new skill to learn. Bodybuilding doesn't have that. What, you learn how to bench better? It's boring. Right? So this is why I choose CrossFit over bodybuilding. Again, it's constantly varied. Number three, community, right? Community and support. Everybody at our box, our coaches, right? A lot of bodybuilders, first off, a lot of them don't have coaches. They can have a coach if they want, right? And some of them that are professional bodybuilders actually do. But most like people going, doing hypertrophy training at a Globo gym, they don't have a coach. So they don't have support there, right? It's usually not with the community. It's usually alone with maybe one or two other people that you work out with. So making it even more boring, right? Bodybuilders basically have no friends, right? At the end of the day, I'm just kidding. I'm sure they have friends, but they don't have a lot of friends training with them like CrossFitters do. We have all of our friends around us all the time training. Yeah, there's a little bit more drama in a lot of our CrossFit boxes, but it is, you know, it is more fun. I must say that. It definitely is more fun. So this is number three, right? The community and the support. Bodybuilding, not really there, right? Not as much as it is in CrossFit, right? And so I love the community and support. A lot of other people do. I think that also helps it keep it sustainable. Having people hold you accountable at your box, other coaches there pushing you, wanting you to be your best, like that's what we need, right? That's what most people need. We as humans are interactive species, right? And so anything that we can do in our life to cultivate interaction and to talk with each other, communicate, like we're communicative people. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Other species aren't like that, but humans are, right? And so community and support, that's number three. Number four, how many people's relationship with food has been tarnished because they've eaten chicken, broccoli, rice? This is because people, when they're doing lifting or doing anything recreationally, anything to get better and improve, lose body fat, build muscle, they're like, I want to do what bodybuilders do because they look the best. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Look, that's not sustainable. Doing those types of diets that are so rigid, strict, are not sustainable. A lot of bad things have come out of that because bodybuilding, like at the elite level, is actually very, very, very unhealthy. Very, very unhealthy. And the people that do it at that elite level, they know this. Like you can ask them, like, how healthy is body? And they're going to be like, no, this isn't healthy. This is sport. This is not healthy. So many things trickle down from that because people kind of just want to mimic what other people are doing that look good. And it can really put you in a hole, tarnish your relationship with food, right? So when it comes to bodybuilding, their diet, their approach, it's very rigid, very specific, not versatile. Whereas with CrossFit, if you find the right coach, you get the right support. We could pretty much eat what we want. We just have to hit the calories and macros necessary to fuel our bodies appropriately, right? Because at the end of the day, like we're not trying to be 2-3% body fat, right? We're trying to make sure we have muscle mass, look lean, strong, look like we do 4-5 wads per week, but we don't need to be at 2-3% body fat. In fact, we would get injured if we did that, in fact, right? And so the obsessive nature around the way that you look, hence bodybuilding, is not really healthy. And CrossFitters don't have to meet those standards because they're not competing on stage and getting prizes for based off of how they look, right? It's how they perform. And so bodybuilding is based not on performance, but on aesthetics, whereas CrossFit is based on performance. And that's a much more sustainable way to reach your goals, especially when it comes to the nutrition sector of comparing the two. And so this is the fourth reason that I choose CrossFit over bodybuilding, right? It doesn't mean that there are no pros to bodybuilding, right? There are several. But when it comes to these four things, this is why I love CrossFit and will just supplement bodybuilding stuff into my life and not have it completely take over my life and do bodybuilding instead of CrossFit, right? Now, I'm going to pull up a chart that I actually seen the other day comparing some of the different skills parameters of bodybuilding versus CrossFit. And this chart's going to give some real indication as to maybe some of the differences between bodybuilding versus CrossFit, right? So endurance. Endurance, which is, we'll define as the use of oxygen. For CrossFit, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10. You really need to be an endurance-based athlete to do well. Bodybuilding, it's a 3. Okay? Stamina, which is the use of the energy and utilizing that oxygen. CrossFit, a 10. Bodybuilding, a 4. Strength. So how much weight can you lift? 1 rep max. For CrossFit, it's an 8. For bodybuilding, it's an 8. Strength matters in both, so they're even. Let's see. Flexibility. So your range of motion, right? Your mobility is different from flexibility, but we can, in a way, couple them together. They're not the exact same thing, right? But flexibility for CrossFit, it's an 8. For bodybuilding, it's a 4. Power. So force and maximal and minimal time, right? Power is going to be 8 for CrossFit. It's going to be a 5 for bodybuilding. Bodybuilding has lost every single one so far. Speed. In CrossFit, it's a 9. In bodybuilding, it's a 7. I don't know how they got 7 even for bodybuilding, but hey, we'll go with it. Coordination, a 10. Bodybuilding, coordination is a 3. You don't need any coordination to be a bodybuilder. Agility, a 10 for CrossFit. Bodybuilding, a 3. You don't need to have any agility to be a bodybuilder, right? Football, it's probably like a 10, right? But like agility for a bodybuilder, nope, don't need it. Balance, CrossFit, a 10. Pistols, wall balls, I mean, you name it, running, like all these different things we do. Double unders require balance. And balance for a bodybuilder is a 4. They don't need it. Accuracy, a 10. Bodybuilding, a 2. You don't need any accuracy as a bodybuilder. Yeah. So, in other words, this is a chart that helps describe the long-term health requirements as a general fitness program. And it's a great depiction of why so many people choose CrossFit over other types of sports like powerlifting, yoga, HIIT training, like these sort of things, right? And so CrossFit, basically, as you could tell, never got below a score of 8 in all those different categories. This is why I'm choosing CrossFit every single time. It makes you an overall better person, athlete, and better at life, period. No one can argue this. It's literally right here. I'm looking at it right now. It's amazing. So that's awesome. Hope you guys like that portion of the podcast. If you agree, disagree, don't care. Comment below. Tell me what your thoughts are. You'll be seeing more content like this. And hopefully, we can have more discussions and hopefully some bodybuilders chime in and give us their opinion as to why they think bodybuilding might be better than CrossFit. Or maybe they do a little bit of both. Who knows, right? Okay, before we get to the WOD Nutrition Q&A segment, I have to mention my sponsor, Benchmark Coffee. Benchmark Coffee, recently rebranded from Violet Coffee, is the best coffee that I've ever had. Why? It's made fresh. It's shipped directly to your door. They have over 20 different flavors that you can purchase. They stay in season with everything. Just finished up their holiday brew. So good. Delicious, 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 right? So if you want to try some, go ahead, go to the link below, benchmarkcoffee.com. You can put in the code CBG and you'll get 10% off every order that you place. Let me know if you like it. Now, there are 3 main questions that I got from the WOD Nutrition Facebook group for this week, okay? Let's start with number 1. We'll go down and I'll give you guys some different tips. Number 1, how many carbs should I be having post-workout? Okay, that's a good question. To put simply, 60 to 80. That's what I would recommend. Usually a 3-to-1 ratio with how much protein you've taken. So if you've taken 20, then you should have 60 grams. So 3 times, right? So 20 grams of protein, 60 grams of carbs, 30 grams of protein, 90 grams of carbs. So that's why I said 60 to 80, right? Now, carbs are super important, especially when taken in with protein, helps stimulate protein muscle synthesis, which helps recover from our workouts, make sure we're not only retaining the muscle mass we worked hard for, but building more muscle mass over time. So yes, you should be having carbs post-workout. Intra-workout carbs are also very important. This question was primarily pertaining towards post-workout carbohydrates. And so there are a lot of different post-workout carbohydrates you can have. Ideally, we would incorporate a very simple form of carbohydrates, meaning it doesn't take the body long to digest so that we can absorb it, get it into the bloodstream, replenish glycogen, replenish the liver, and go from there. So the best sources I found are dextrose. It's a powder. You can get it on Amazon. It tastes great. You put it right with your protein shake. Delicious. Fuel 5, which is from X Endurance. Really, really good. Tastes awesome. Gatorade. Gatorade also has salt in it, which helps replenish our sodium, which we lose through our sweat when we work out. White bread and jelly, if you're more of a not a liquid sort of person post-workout, white bread and jelly is really good. Honey, dates, all ways that you can get in some great post-workout carbs. All right, so 40 to 60 is what I would target. for athletes that are training a little bit longer, you know, 3 hours, you know, a session, something like that, they're going to have a lot of intra-workout carbs, and maybe you have more post-workout carbs in this. But this is what I would typically recommend, right? In general, some people just like to eat their food, so they just go home and have a meal after with carbohydrates in it. In that case, maybe like a white rice, something like that. But this is what I would recommend, about 40 to 60. Good question. Question number two, what are the differences between men and women when it comes to nutrition? Okay, that is a great question. I think that's probably a whole podcast in and of itself, but I'll give you some of the main differences. So just out there generally in the world, we know that diet culture has affected women a lot more than it's affected men. It doesn't mean that men aren't affected, right? But women have been more deeply affected by diet culture than men. And so their pain points are much deeper. And therefore, it takes someone and a coach that's very patient to work with a lot of women that are out there, right? Based on the struggles that they faced and everything like that, right? So that's one of the first differences, I would say. A lot of men work with them, hit the ground running, ready to go. It doesn't mean they're not in pain or not ready. Maybe they don't speak out as much as women about the pain that they're in and how uncomfortable they are. But for women, they're much more upfront about this, and it requires a lot more care, time, effort, patience. Okay, so that's number one. And that's not like women need more of that. No, it's women like have been affected more greatly by diet culture, right? In large part because of other women, to be honest, but it's just the way it is. So that's the first thing. Another thing I would mention is there are a lot of more fluctuations with women, especially in the scale and emotionally throughout the process. And that's because there's a lot of different cycles, literally, that women go through in a time frame of like 4 to 6 weeks, right? And so your menstrual cycle, right? You have both the luteal and follicular phases. In those phases, different things are occurring, right? Your periods are occurring, which can fluctuate mood, the scale, hunger levels, all those different things. You also have ovulation, right? And in ovulation, a lot of those things are affected as well. Hormones are changing slightly, estrogen's increasing, mood changes, typically appetite increases, cravings increase. And so these are some things that typically aren't the case for men. Men are more like even keel, you know, their hormones aren't really changing throughout the month very much and things like that, right? This is another thing that needs to be considered. And more so, like, it's not that like there are huge drastic changes in the nutrition-based protocols for men and women. Women typically have less muscle and are lower body mass, so therefore their calories are lower, obviously. I didn't think I had to go over that, but yeah, I mean, that's a part of it. But I would say that those are some of the main differences between men and women. It's more women recognizing that their bodies are different and that they're going to have more fluctuations in the scale, in their mood, in their emotions, in the process overall, you know. And so you need a good coach to work with someone to really help them, support them on those goals, right? So that is the second question. Third question, should I do CrossFit Facet? Is that okay? Oh, my gosh. Okay. This is a good question. I'm going to frame it in a way that is going to make sense for my 5 a.m. CrossFit crew, which I know is a lot of you. It is not ideal to do CrossFit fasted. If it's just cardio, it's not bad, right? Because if it's just like rowing or running, it's not like it's zone one or two. There are actually some benefits. Mitochondrial biogenesis, which allows for, it's either the increase in total mitochondria or increasing the size of mitochondria. Don't quote me on that, but either one is obviously, mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. It's great. And so mitochondrial biogenesis is something that can occur better when fasted than not, right? Now, which helps adapt better and get you better at cardiovascular training in the zone two area, whatever, right? So there's that benefit. But if you're doing any sort of resistance training, even if it's freaking 65 pounds on a bar, and you're moving it for reps, you need to eat something beforehand, ideally. Now, you guys aren't going to love that because you're like, oh, I'm a 5 a.m. or I don't want to eat something before. I totally get that. There are a couple things you can do instead, okay? So to answer the question before I start giving tips on this, yes, you should eat something before. Is it okay? Yes, if it's just a cardio work. If you're doing double unders, some kettlebell swings and rowing, maybe it's fine. You know, if you're doing muscle ups and power cleans, no, you need to eat something. So there's a couple different things you can do, right? The first obvious option is to actually eat something. And it could be that it's more simple carbohydrates that are easily processed that body can utilize immediately. A banana, no high fiber fruits ideally, but bananas, dates, even apples are okay. A little bit of oatmeal, you know, something that's going to get you in some carbohydrates prior to your workout. Fuel gels, like whatever, right? And Gatorade, like all that stuff is good. Now, if that's not possible for you, like, look, if I put one Skittle in my mouth, I'm going to throw up in the morning. Okay, that's fine. You can do two things. One, you can eat your carbs the night before, incorporate a little bit more carbs the night before, and you would do that every day, night before you would go to your box, right? To make sure that everything is good to go for the morning. Not as ideal as eating right before, but okay, nonetheless. Or second, you can incorporate intra-workout carbs. Intra-workout carbs are where you're basically going to eat in between the workout, like times, I guess. So like if there's an hour workout, usually there's like a warm-up, then you would have your intra-workout carbs. And then there might be a strength piece. Like you do some 5x5 exercise, then you're going to have your intra-workout carbs, right? And then you do the Metcon, right? Or yeah, something like that. Right. Or if there's no, you know, piece in the beginning, it's a long WOD, maybe you just do the warm up and then you have your intra workout carbs. This is a way to like, hey, it's a little later, right? Now it's not 4:30 in the morning. You got to wake up early to eat. It's actually like 5:20, 5:30. It's like, all right, I'll have some Gatorade just to get myself some intra workout carbs. Right. So yeah, I hope that helps. So no, don't do CrossFit fasted unless it's just cardio. Right. Then it's probably fine. I appreciate you guys. I hope this podcast was fun. It was a lot of fun for me. I know this is a topic that a lot of bodybuilders are talking about. Look, they came at us first. So here we are. So I appreciate you guys. We have lots of different webinars planned for 2024. Free giveaways, as you guys know, free guides. If you're interested in working with my team, everybody qualifies first. So click the link somewhere below this podcast. Schedule a call with me. I'm a nice guy. We could chat, see if we can help you with your goals to lose body fat, build muscle, and crush your WODs in 2024. And that's what we help CrossFitters do all over the world. So my name is Justin. I'm the WOD Nutritionist. And I appreciate you guys for listening. Talk soon.